The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
All right, good morning. Welcome, golfers, to On Par with Anthony Scorcher. Thank you for joining us on this wet and weary Saturday, October 27th, 2018. Pleased to have in studio my friend for the last time this season, Steve Goldman. How you doing, bud?
A little bittersweet moment here for the season finale of On Par with Anthony Scorcher, and appropriate enough having the weather cooperating as always, but shall we use the requisite line? We don't think the heavy stuff is coming down for quite a while, so maybe it could squeeze a quick nine in if, if the course isn't underwater by now.
I know. Just, you know, everybody's sad. Even Mother Nature said at the end of the season.
I mean, it's a fitting tribute, considering all the weather issues we've had during this season, during the entire year. You know, why not? Let's have a nor'easter
to put a bow on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and of course, looking forward to always talking to Tom. I mean, what a better way to end it. I mean, it's a sort of a fitting end considering the growing conditions that they've had to deal with all season long.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's happy to end the season with a nor'easter as well.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, we have a lot of friends of the program, especially one of our friends, Kelly Brook, head professional at Bethpage. Big news this week on behalf of Kelly, the LPGA Teaching and Club Professional Executive Committee has named Kelly the 2018 Professional of the Year, National Professional of the Year. So a great honor for Kelly. You know, we had her on in the beginning of the summer, talking about the changes that she wants to make because her firm just got the bid to oversee the operations of the grounds and the facilities.
That's a 20-year contract, so she's going to be there to make a substantial impact.
It's a huge deal. She's already, if you've been to Bethpage, you can see there's already construction in the works. She's got her short game area underway, which I think is going to be fantastic. They're working on indoor facilities because they want to be a 12-month a year. And also fitness, too. They've got Dr. Jeff Poplarski, the director of golf fitness. They call him Dr. Jeff. He's been at the last 16 U.S. Opens working with professionals as well as amateurs and volunteers.
Yeah, he's part of that TPI program, that sort of
yes, indeed.
Fitness program.
There's a lot going on at Bethpage and a lot to look forward to. Unfortunately, the PGA Championship is going to
disrupt
sort of postpone a little bit some of the things that they want to do, but that'll be done in May, and then hopefully after that, they'll really be able to make some big changes. So if you haven't been to Bethpage in a while, you might want to check it out. If nothing else, top level instruction there. You see Kelly Brook on the Golf Channel. She just filmed a couple of videos that you can see on YouTube with some little minute and a half clips. Great things are happening at Bethpage.
Yeah, and you don't have to be. I mean, if you're paying any bit of attention, her presence has already made an impact. I mean, first of all, they're much more engaged in social media, so they're getting their brand out there. But the biggest impact is the number of kids you saw there this summer.
Yeah,
that in itself is enough to speak to the kind of change that you can see that's going to happen under Kelly.
And in full disclosure, Kelly Brook is my teacher. I signed up for lessons for her, and it's been at 50 years old, it's been life altering listening to Kelly, having Kelly help me with my swing and really breaking down the golf swing into its core components. It's been a phenomenal experience. And like you said, I saw Kelly this summer. Well, actually this last month, she was working with a 3.5-year-old. And she was phenomenal. She was as engaging and encouraging and, you know, just being around her, you just want to do better, and you just want to keep playing the game because she loves the game. She loves teaching the game. She wants to grow the game. And, you know, we always talk about that, you know, what does that mean, grow the game?
Yeah.
Well, like you said, the fact that you've got so many young people now being at Bethpage, playing golf, going to clinics, working on their swings, you know, we've always known Bethpage to be the pinnacle of amateur golf, well, of public golf,
on
but
Long
now
Island, sure.
On Long Island for sure, if not in the country, but now they want the facility to match the golf course.
Yep.
And I don't see where how they're going to fail.
No, I think they have a good person in place and a plan. More importantly, a good plan in place. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to seeing how that develops.
That is definitely going to be something we'll look forward to talking about next year, especially close to the PGA Championship and then after the PGA Championship to see what kind of changes are going to be made, because I think they're going to be tremendous.
Yep, and it'll be nice to open up next season with the PGA Championship. I mean, it'll be the Masters, which is usually
right.
The Saturday. The Masters is when we start the show, but then, boom, right after that, we got the PGA right here on Long Island. So lots of good stuff happening next year. But we got to get to our first break so we can talk to our good friend Tom Kaplan. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit Pete'sGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Steve. And on the line is friend of the program, the superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club, Tom Kaplan. Tom, how are we doing this morning?
Doing great. I mean, full disclosure, this rainstorm wasn't too bad because I think many superintendents on Long Island were able to keep their golf course closed for the day, take a day off, wake up with their families. I had to come out into my truck to have this conversation because the chaos that's going on inside my house would make it virtually impossible.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're happy to help.
Exactly. So that's a nice half hour break.
Tom, what kind of panic mode were you in, let's say 48 hours out when we knew the nor'easter was coming? And like you said, thank goodness we didn't really get what we thought we were going to get, but still, you have to prepare for something like this.
Sure. A lot of the times you what's involved with that is making sure that you have drains accessible, the drain water off the golf course. This time of the year it becomes challenging because you get leaves that start falling down. I mean, and then you really, it's the preparation that you do before you have storms like this. A storm like this isn't as troublesome or worrisome as a nor'easter in the wintertime, when a lot of superintendents also have side duties involving, plowing roads into the club, keeping them accessible. But there is preparation that goes in, for hurricane or tropical storm type preparation, with making sure that you have generators filled with gas. Like I said, drain lines accessible, unclogged, and then, ultimately preparing for what's in store for, for the cleanup over the next few days.
Tom, we know that it was a difficult growing season and, basically a summer of heat, humidity, and rain, only to be replaced soon enough by, and forgive the Grateful Dead reference, but cold rain and snow. How do you put this summer in perspective? And more importantly, I know you guys sort of keep track of weather patterns and how you treat your golf course accordingly. Is there anything you learned from this past summer that you can carry next year?
Yeah, I think you learn every year, I think from a historical standpoint, it's funny because you look back as you move further along in the path of being a superintendent, I think that you learn from years past to help prepare yourself for years like this. And, and if you're younger in your career, maybe this year is a good year to learn for years going forward. I was fortunate enough to go through a couple tough summers early on in my career, and in the moment, you're frustrated, you feel somewhat burnt out, but you keep fighting, and then those types of struggles that you go through, you know, end up becoming a positive for years like this. I mean, there were things I did this year. Had I not gone through a very tough summer, like in 2010, or even the back half of 2012 was difficult. Had I not gone through those years, I wouldn't have been prepared for a summer like this. So from a historical standpoint, you know, it was a very tough summer. I think it was well documented. One of the, you know, one of the highest humidity, highest heat summers that we've ever had in the, really in the tri-state area, with rainfalls. And it's funny because I can't remember the last time we spoke. Maybe I want to say 5, 6, 7 weeks ago. After that point, the weather still did not relent. I mean, we got into some cool season diseases that can be absolutely devastating for golf courses. And whereas September is a month for recovery and, you know, recovery and kind of regeneration and going out and seeding and doing those things, superintendents fought right through the month of September to keep the golf course playable into battle diseases that we might not commonly see in a typical summer.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a fall. I mean, it seemed like it was hot, like even in the beginning of September, it was in the 90s, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like we went from 90s to 50s. That can't be good for the grounds.
No, the bottom fell right out. Right, exactly. No, I mean, over the past, it was funny. I was speaking with a few superintendents over the past week, just talking about how fast and how quickly the growing season kind of just shut down in terms of grass growth. And yeah, the situation that it creates is somewhat challenging in the sense that you don't get the recovery that you would hope you would get, you know, in a month like October where you would still hope to have days in the, you know, upper 60s to low 70s. I mean, we had our first frost a couple nights ago, then we had another hard frost last night. So that really decelerates the growth of the grass. You know, the take home, I guess, from a golfing standpoint and from also too from working on the golf course standpoint is there's probably golf courses that are going to have vulnerable areas through the winter. You know, they're going to have to protect those areas and, you know, they're going to have to work on those areas, through the, you know, into the spring. But that's what Mother Nature, that's the hand we're dealt with Mother Nature. And I think, you know, the people that communicate it well to their memberships, to the golfing, to the golfing world. For the most part, people understand that if it's communicated to them.
Our guest is Tom Kaplan, the golf course superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. He's been in that position for well over 9 years now. Also, he's on the board of directors at the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association, which brings me to my next question for Tom. So, of course, we all know misery loves company, so I would imagine obviously what's happening in North Hempstead is probably happening all over Long Island. So how are you able to communicate with the other superintendents from across Long Island, and I imagine trying to sort of brainstorm with each other to offer solutions for what's quite a difficult problem?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, a lot of it revolves around in-the-moment phone calls, you know, and then also, too, you know, we will have a annual meeting in which we'll have Dr. Frank Rossi come down and speak and kind of do a year in review. So, you know, in the moment when you're trying to problem solve through the season, you know, there's a lot of direct phone calls to the 3 to 4 to 5 superintendents that you might talk to on a pretty regular basis. You know, and then once the year starts to slow down and we could go to something like our annual meeting and really sit down, listen to what Dr. Rossi has to say and then kind of reflect on it. You know, that's when some bigger conversation takes place about, you know, what was successful, what wasn't successful. You know, but the communication amongst from superintendent to superintendent in the association, you know, is very good.
Tom, is there anything? I mean, given the level of stress that the grass has undergone over this past season, is there any consideration to changing the type of grass you use? I mean, is there anything that could be when you get extreme situations that we've had in the last couple of years or whatever, do you think about maybe going to a zoysia or anything? Do golf courses, I know they're always, the green section's always doing research. Would one particular strand of grass have perform perhaps better under these conditions, or is it just you're just at the, it doesn't matter, you're just trading one problem for another?
Well, you know, it's like the old adage, you know, that there really is never a silver bullet for pretty much anything, you know, in life. So, but yes, The USG does it. The USGA does a tremendous job, as do seed developers, with being able to develop, you know, develop seed varieties that might be resistant to diseases that you might come across, or totally immune to some of the diseases. But it's like anything else. Over time, you know, something comes in and finds that unoccupied niche and creeps in, and you have a new problem that emerges.
Right.
You know, and what you have to take into consideration too is, and yes, to answer your question in short, there are certain seed varieties and certain types of grass that you've seen a trend from a movement of, for example, without getting too specific, but from perennial ryegrass being used is a lot of regeneration of growth because it's quick in establishing to more and more of this turf type tall fescue, which has some of the characteristics of ryegrass, but it's a little more disease resistant, a little more drought tolerant, takes a little bit longer to establish. So you do see that.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your point, you know, to make drastic changes, you know, on a golf course to really convert over to zoysia, which I don't know how well that works because we still get some pretty tough temperature extremes in the winter, and those are C4 plants, which, you know, just a warm season grass period.
Right, yeah.
But to be able to make that transition is difficult because you need to take these old classic golf courses and you need to say, look, if we're going to convert, let's say, from POA to creeping bent grass in our fairways, mm-hmm. you'll see a lot of that, the USGA says.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond just killing the, you know, killing the POA in the fairway and making it creeping bent grass. You know, it's clearing out trees. It's creating an environment that's conducive for creeping bent grass. There's a reason why the POA came in, because the environment's better for the POA than it is for the creeping bent grass. So if you're going to do something like that transition, you need to look at the big picture of how do we change the elements on the golf course to be able to make it conducive for the type of grass that we want to have.
Yeah, it's really interesting. People think it's a simple process and it's anything but that pretty much goes for pretty much all of your profession. I think that people, think things are simpler than they are, but we got to take a short break. More with Tom Kaplan. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf course, the superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cows.cornell.edu.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He is Steve, and on the line is the superintendent for North Hempstead Country Club and board of directors at the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association, Tom Kaplan. Tom, you heard his voice on the commercial, Frank Rossi, the great friend of the program, Frank Rossi. We had him on a little bit to talk about this continued fight about this political movement, I guess, with nitrogen. And, you know, I guess you just have to keep on fighting, keep on, I guess, at this point with this struggle.
Yeah, sure. So we're involved with this group right now, LINAP. It's a Long Island Nitrogen Action Plan committee, you know, and the Long Island Superintendents Association. Joe Gardner from Fresh Meadow and myself have worked pretty closely with people from the Department of Environmental Conservation, some of the directors of this program, you know, and all stakeholders really involved in fertilizer use on Long Island. It's obviously, if you pick up, you know, if you read through Newsday, pretty much once or twice a week, it's always talking about our waterways and how polluted they've become. And so really, it's funny because the old adage used to be that, yeah, you know, this was a political battle or a political fight. And really, you know, we've been able to, you know, to change a tone. And I think also, too, people at the state level have, too, where it's more of a partnership to figure out that, yes, there is a problem. You know, how can we address the problem? You know, let's put sound science to the into the problem when we start to develop legislation, you know, and let's come up with a solution. I think because we're all in this together to, you know, to protect our waterways and to eliminate, you know, to eliminate as much as possible the amount of nitrogen that goes into our waterways. And it's a much larger problem than fertilizer, believe me. But fertilizer is an easy solution, you know, to regulate. It does not cost a lot to do so from a state level as it would to fix the septic systems and how the wastewater treatment plants work, you know. So, you know, it's multi-layered, but it's a, but yeah, it is. It's an ongoing discussion and, you know, hopefully we can come through with some pretty good, sound, scientific-based legislation that will help fertilizer users do their part to protect the environment.
Tom, I often wonder when there are these types of issues that come up and the issue about legislation and which sides are for it and which sides seem to be opposed to it. But, it, you know, it seems to me that one of the disconnects is that the, I think the lack of information about how golf courses and the superintendents especially are just as environmentally conscious as people who are not involved with golf. You're not sitting there on an island saying, oh, we need to, you know, we just need to take care of our property and forget about whatever happens. I mean, you're constantly thinking about the environment and what kind of impact you're having.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's part of the, you know, that is what you embrace and you take that as part of your responsibility when you, you know, when you become a golf course superintendent or even go to work on a golf course with the goal of becoming a golf course superintendent. And I think from a New York State standpoint, I think, you know, and thank you to, you know, Frank Rossi and to the Metropolitan Golf Association, the Long Island Golf Association, and the various associations around the state. You know, some of the key people came together and had the foresight, you know, I think about 5 or 6 years ago, to put together this New York State Best Management Practices for Golf Courses that really demonstrates, you know, how golf courses operate. You know, and it's much more than nitrogen. It's water use. It's soil conditioning. You know, but it's all related back to the environment. You know, and how, and it provides a template for how really, you know, we should be managing our golf courses with environmental sustainability at the forefront of our decision making.
You know, what's interesting is that you guys are constantly on the front lines to battle this, battling this situation. But I bet it pales in comparison to what general industries and businesses have done to the environment, and yet you guys are the ones on the sort of front lines dealing with this issue, while corporations get away with pretty much not anything, but have done far much more damage to the environment than you guys have.
Well, we all know, you know, regardless of the sector of life it is or the business, that, you know, money talks.
Yep.
And the resources that bigger businesses have and the money that they have at their disposal, you know, makes it a little bit easier. But, you know, what you do, and like what we do as an association of superintendents is, you know, you realize that, look, you're going to be involved in these situations. It would be easy to be combative and to fight them. But, you know, you hope that people will want to work with you and understand that, you know, that we're in this together, whether you believe the golf course, you know, should be green or that it's okay for it to be partially dead and brown. You know, regardless, there's a happy medium somewhere. And, you know, the environmental protectors of the world and the golf course superintendents and I think even the landscapers, you know, we want to come together to be able to find common ground.
We're talking to Tom Kaplan, the golf course superintendent at North Hempstead Country Club and also a member of the board of directors of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association. So keeping on the same line, you know, we all agree and we're all on the same page here that obviously we want the environment to improve. And I think sometimes you come up with some sort of a knee-jerk solution and say, okay, well, there's too much nitrogen, so let's cut back on the nitrogen. And I think part of the problem, you know, when it comes to education is, yes, you might have something with good intentions, but you don't really understand what the unintended consequences are. So how difficult is it to try to educate people that, yes, we're on the same side, but no, this isn't the right solution?
Extremely difficult is the short answer, because we had this take place last spring. you know, with a bill that was proposed and even set up to the state Senate that was docked when the Senate closed session, you know, which just, which was basically a, you know, exactly what you just described. Let's limit the amount of nitrogen per bag. Let's limit the amount of nitrogen, that can come into the, into Nassau and Suffolk County. And that's a simple solution to the problem from a fertilizer standpoint. There was absolutely no science that backed this bill. It was based on the assumption that if we lowered the amount of nitrogen per bag that was sold in the state, people would, in effect, put less nitrogen down. And, you know, so that was an ill-conceived bill. I was very thankful that Senator Kemp Hannon did kind of table the bill and that it did not get a vote. And, you know, he made the analogy. We had a town hall meeting. He made a great analogy there. You know, he's an avid lacrosse fan, and he said that, you know, just like anything, you know, lacrosse games have a clock, and the time runs out. So, you know, we've been working really hard this year with a bunch of other stakeholders and LINAP in the first part of this fall to start to come up with some legislation, because I think lawmakers do want to see something happen, and we're for that.
Tom, I just wanted to give you a little, I have, Frank Rossi would make fun of me right now because I have zero, room for a segue here. So I'm just going to transition us to North Hempstead Country Club. You just recently did a driving range, which came out beautiful. You just redoing the sort of chipping and bunker, green by, on the golf course. What other plans do you have for North Hempstead?
Oh, right now I think we're in an in-between mode. You know, there was a lot of work that was done to the clubhouse, North Hempstead, but, and I do want to say congratulations to Kelly Brook too. And really, you know, it's fantastic what she's doing at Beth Page, because I think that we've all seen around the, you know, around the Long Island and even nationally that, you know, the game of golf has kind of evolved more into the, you know, away from the traditional 18 holes and more to the practice facilities and being able to use the simulators in the winter time. And so I think that that's a fantastic, you know, fantastic what she's been able to do over Beth Page, you know, and I think a lot of that does have a trickle down effect to, you know, to clubs in the area. So, you know, that's great, you know. So, and that was along the same lines as us putting a driving range in. I mean, the driving range that we put in that we never had, that had just as much use as the golf course. It's amazing how many people just like to come up, hit golf balls, chip, you know, chip around the green, do those things. You know, ultimately, what I'd like to do at North Hempstead is to make a better short game area, you know, practice area. Mm-hmm. So I'll continue to plan, advocate for that. You know, in addition to enhanced improvements. You know, they're doing a great restoration of the golf course over at Plandome Country Club right now down the road from us. And so when I go over and see the work being done over there, it kind of gets the juices going. You know, from my standpoint, to really. I look at some of the old tilling gas pictures and eventually wanting to get to that point where I can bring some of the features back with some of the squared greens and the enlargement of some greens. So it's funny, you know, you almost finish up 10 years and you can see yourself with 10 more years of plans of things you'd like to do on the golf course.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time this morning. Thank you for your partnership. It's been one of the most gratifying relationships I've had in this since starting the show. So I can't thank you enough for your friendship, but and also your support.
Yes, thank you too. And just as a side note, the conversation we had this summer, I'm still not paying the $19.99 for the title.
we are in agreement on that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great holiday. Thanks for having me on. And Anthony, thank you for the partnership. It's been great, and we look forward to it in the future.
Absolutely.
Take care, Tom.
Take care.
Okay.
That Bye-bye. Was Tom Kaplan, the superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. And as Steve has noted on the board of directors for the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association, I always love talking to these guys. They're our kind of people, a great organization, and just what they do, being stewards of the land, is something that they do for a living, and I can't thank them enough for their support.
I think we take for granted what goes into actually not only creating but maintaining a golf course. You know,
yeah.
we show up, we play our 18 holes, and then we go home, and we expect the golf course to be in this magical shape and not really sort of concerning ourselves with how it actually gets to be in that shape and how it stays in that shape. And they had their work cut out for them this summer, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Steve, thank you for another season of partnering with you when you're able to come in. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure as always. The time goes by really fast here, doesn't it?
It does. And we're on to season 9 next year.
All right.
So we're almost like Tom, we're coming up on that 10 year. All right, folks, that's it. Thank you for a wonderful season. Have a great winter. Try and swing as much as you can. Go make sure you go get your fitted at Pete's Golf or see people like Kelly Brook who are doing great things at Bethpage. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsese.